I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode. Well, boys and girls, you find us this week back at Gravelwood Car Sales.
We didn't have a choice.
We are busy, mate, aren't we?
A bit busy. Look, are you busy?
I am so busy.
Are you flapping?
Yeah, I'm flapping a bit. I'm at the point of business where I'm not... Usually I enjoy my week. I wake up and I think, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. I look at my diary and think, I've got so much... Now I look at my diary and I just slowly start to sweat.
Yeah, similar. I mean, I woke up this morning. I've got a really particularly busy day today. And I thought, oh, today's going to be long.
Well, you never do this, but you called me in a bit, not in a panic, but just like rechecking all of our timings. And I could hear your brain and the cogs in your brain going,
yeah.
How am I going to get this all
it's
to
It's because
happen?
I've got three cars going out today. I've got people coming. I've got drivers to sort out. I've got wheelmen here. I've got a valeter here. I've got a paint guy here. So it's all going on.
And we're double episoding today. We're recording the next instalment of the Rate My Ride, the new Rate My Ride series, which we're excited about.
I've got two cars to pick up this afternoon as well. So I might get home about 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
That's so all right.
I'm up. I'm filming every day, long days, then actually off to Marrakesh with the family at the weekend.
Are you?
Yeah, which is super nice.
Lovely.
Anyway, boring story. But yeah, so that'll be super nice. The next week I go... It's basically I don't have a day off now until about the 15th of June. So I'm just ramming everything in. You know, I would have said to you, that's why we're doing double episode, because I'm not around next week.
Well, I guess that.
Yeah. Explaining to the audience, Tony.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, here we are. For those of you listening, we're sitting back in Tony's new handover bay, which is rammoed, because as you mentioned, you've got cars going out left, right and centre. We've got that Range Rover Sport SVR that you... desperate to sell. So it's here in shot once again. Ladies and gentlemen, beautiful Range Rover Sport SVR, still for sale. At an amazing discount if you really want to buy it.
It's bloody cheap, that car.
I'm
so annoyed that it's not sold it.
At this point, you must be in so much negative equity.
I can't tell you. You'd be terrified if I told you. It's properly back to front.
That car's about to put Tony's business in the ground. So please, someone come by it so that he's
not that bad.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, lots of cars knocking around. So we're squeezed in here, but it's always cozy and it's nice. And I quite like doing episodes in here, I have to say.
Yeah.
It's quite a nice venue. I think it's cool. And I like the idea of when you're not super busy, we can like slot in a really interesting car and talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's maybe a future
thing.
Yeah,
we do that, yeah.
But today what we're going to do, we'll do a bit of a Q&A. It's been a while. We love doing our Q&A episodes. It's always fun. So I put out a post on Instagram earlier this morning and I actually haven't reviewed the question.
Oh, no.
Because I had to drive here. And
you pick some out.
Yeah.
We're
I mean,
trouble,
there are quite a few, Tony. I'm still scrolling. We've had
hundreds.
Yeah, I mean, in an hour, we've had over 10,000 views of the story and almost everyone's submitted a question. So we're in trouble. So we're just going to launch in. I have no idea what these questions are going to be. Some of them we may like, some of them we may not. We're just going to have to pick them out. But it's a Q&A style episode. So first,
for an hour?
Well, let's see how we get on. We've got other things to talk about if we need to. But there were some good questions, I thought.
All right, good job.
Kickstarting. Ed J. Lloyd 1 with a quite an obvious question, but one that I think we should get into. Thoughts on the BMW M340i? So you're an M3 Touring owner. Mm. We've seen lots of reviews from media looking at the M3 Touring, the Alpina B3, and then the M3 40i. Mm. Is the M3 40i truly the bargain pick of the bunch, or is it the car you buy if you can't afford the M3?
Bit of both.
Bit of both?
I think so, yeah. It's a different customer that buys the 340i to the M3 for whatever reasons, affordability, or they just don't need the M3. Not everyone needs an M3, mate. You know, it's like not everyone needs a GT car. Not everyone needs a Pista. Not everyone needs an AMG Black Series.
A Cayman GTS is enough car for a lot of people.
A Cayman GT4 RS, who needs one of them? That's what I'm saying.
I can definitely agree with you there, Tony.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, but obviously these manufacturers make these cars in increments for a reason. So
I think it's a fantastic, usable, daily car. It ticks all the boxes. Don't kid yourself, though, that it's going to feel special. I think it's going to be one of those cars that's going to be great. Like I had the X3 M40i and D, and it was just like brilliant. But I never was like woo-hoo-hoo, in the same way that an M3 does.
Yeah, the M3 40i is just a really good all round car. Mm. But don't be under the illusion that it's not much different to an M3. Because it is genuinely night and day.
Yeah,
they are different.
30 grand difference, and I would say you probably can notice that.
Oh, mate, it's like literally.
You would say that.
Yeah. I've lost 30 grand on my one. That's the difference.
Not great investments.
Yeah.
You guys have been doing this podcast for years. What makes you keep going? Should we say the same answer?
You lot.
What,
really?
Money.
No. He's changed. He never used to be like that. He was all about the audience, and now he's ruthless.
I thought that's what you were going to say. I thought we could do a 3-2-1 and we were like, money. Because that's, if he's honest with himself, certainly if his knee turns up, because as you just said, you're busy enough. I know your motivation today was to cut time. He's like, we have to do it. Got to make money, mate.
No, my motivation is always money, mate.
Yeah.
My whole business, what's the point? What are we doing it for, otherwise?
But I think the difference with this, for me in the main channel, the difference for this and the... I love this because it feels like, even though we're here talking to a camera, it feels like we're just talking amongst ourselves, but also just to the people. That's why we love the live events, right?
Yeah, because to meet them all.
Of course, this is a business. We were partly joking, but it is a business. But at the same time, I get such a kick out of doing this. We definitely don't have to do it. We've both got other businesses that take up a lot of our time and are our main focus. But we enjoy doing this because it's just a chance to just, nerd out about cars.
You get a kick about being recognised, mate, everywhere you go. That's what I mean. Like, literally, you know the old saying about him... Like, if you've got a car, you know who he is on Instagram. Like, that is genuinely, he gets a kick out of that. He loves it.
I don't even know how to respond. Because you know it's not true. But no, I'm like, how do I fight that? Anyway, as I say, I like it. Because, this whole podcast spawned out of you and I having these chats anyway.
All the while.
And they were a waste of our time. Because we were on the phone for an hour.
Talking bollocks.
We thought, well, we might as well record this.
Yeah.
And then now, when we meet people at the live events, or, people recognise me walking down the street, Tony. Oi, oi. The conversation continues. That's what I like.
Yeah.
I was with my cousin a day or two ago. And we were just picking up on things that we discussed on the podcast. And it's quite nice. Whereas in the main channel, because people come and go from the main channel and videos spike different people's interests, somebody will come up to me and be like, oh, mate, you still got the F-Type? I'm like, no, but thanks for, watching. Because they viewed the main channel for the F-Type. Then someone, but with the podcast, people are always up to date.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
So that's what I like. It's like this continuous discard. That's what I personally...
I think the main channel is more of probably a worldwide audience, and me travelling the world with you, I've seen that with my own eyes, because if I'm with you, they'd reference you more than me. But if they're podcast, then they'll say us both. And the other thing is... The main channel don't really get any views on this. I'm on it, so
it's a very good point. it's sporadic. That's the thing, it's very much video dependent. We're here on the podcast. We've got this audience, this lovely loyal audience that just come back every week. We're all hanging out together. So where do your kicks come from? You said the audience, but genuinely, why do you keep doing this? That's why I keep doing it. But why do you keep doing it?
Why do I keep doing it? It's actually a good question.
Oh God, guys, why did you ask him?
No, because I'm trying. No, in a good, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
enjoy it. Like, people think I'm a moany old sod and I don't like cars anymore. And you're right. There's a lot of things, a lot of cars I don't like anymore. But I do enjoy sitting down, having these conversations.
Yeah.
And it is cool, mate. Like, what always blows my mind, and you know it does, is the recognition when we go places. Like, it, like, does me in.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you said that when you went on holiday in Christmas and people come up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that absolutely blows my mind.
And it is weird.
And the most satisfying thing is that all the other podcasts copy us, so we must be saying, right? Is that right? Can we say
no?
That? No.
And it's not right. you all know this. Tony is unbelievably competitive. So every week, as I say, you know, there is just a pure enjoyment. And I think you guys know that and you see it and you hear it. We just like coming and having these chats and talking with you guys and talking on these topics. We're passionate about it. And that's what draws me back. But every week, Tony texts me and be like, I just saw someone posting that they're number one in the U. Where do we rank? What's going on with us?
I'm fuming.
I never check, Tony. I don't know. I don't care. I'm just thinking we're having a good time and it is what it is. Like, you know, we make a little bit of money and we have.
Why are we not number one?
I don't know.
What's going on here?
Well, we're across multiple platforms and we're doing different things and we're not that interesting. We're just two twats having chats about cars. We're over opinionated. We don't really inform anyone of anything. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, with all the other guys, they're very good. Like, they're really knowledgeable.
They're very good.
So I don't care about all that stuff. I'd
watch them.
Yeah, I just, you know, we're here to have fun. Anyway, that was a long-winded answer. Robbie McKeels. Would you rather drive an old 80s JDM legend or an 80s British rival?
JDM.
Yeah, what 80s British? I mean, that's...
Oh, it's an old... It's an old Austin or an old... It's an old
over my head.
It's an,
not
old,
my
it's an old Ford. It's an old... I mean, it's a disaster. The JDM cars were cool back then.
I think so, yeah. I would agree. And also because probably less exposure.
And I had them as well.
You had them. That was your scene, wasn't it?
That was my scene, yeah.
And now they'd all be worth tons of money.
It's so annoying.
Luke Prattley, 2121. If/when is there going to be another collab between the OG car YouTubers? I think we talk about this a lot. It's not happening.
No.
I think, like, I've referenced this so many times, not through any big, dark rivalries. The world of YouTube has changed. We're all too busy. We're all doing our own things. Schmied has texted me asking me if I was free for a filming date in June. It's not even a joke.
He's not even, mate, he's never here. Where is
he? He said, hey, mate, I'm in the middle of my trip, but I'd love to do this video. I've got this concept. Any chance you're around this week in June?
Where is that boy now? You know what? I saw a post the other day. He's in Oslo in that yellow thing.
Yeah, in the AMG GT Black Series thing. Good lad.
Loves it.
Loves it. Rennie Halterman, what's the best starter sports supercar? M2, Amira, Cayman GT4, etc.
So there's none of them. They're sports cars. They're not supercars.
Okay, fine. So he's asking what's the best entry level? So I think he's saying 50, 60 grand-ish sports/supercar. Alfa Romeo 4C. for those audio listeners, Tony's pulling a face.
If it's very good.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good. If we're going sports car, you can't beat an M2 comp or a Cayman.
I don't think an M2 comp is sporty or sexy enough.
Fair, because it's too mundane.
Mundane.
I think it's a perfect price range. It is a sportish car. But supercar, AMG GTR.
What's the price of that these days?
85, 90.
Too much.
What?
Too much, I think. From the money he's talking about, M2 Amira/GT4... You've got a price bracket above.
AMG GTS.
Yeah, AMG GT, full stop.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, it's solid.
911.
R8. I think you'd get boring 911s for that money. I think you'd be underwhelmed. With 60 grand, 991 Carrera, I think you'd be a bit like, what's all the fuss about?
But hold on a minute, mate. Apart from a GT car and maybe a Turbo S, all the 911s are boring.
No, but they're fantastically good.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. They're almost too good.
They're too good. I think it would feel underwhelming. So, okay, so you're going AMG GT. I'm going...
Good car, that 60 grand.
I mean, I would say an F-Type R, wouldn't I? But
what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
Stick with my... Stick with what I know. There we go. When will the new merch be available? I teased, Tony.
Did you?
Some merchandise in the post of this on Instagram.
You've done a hat.
Watch this space. So the upcoming tour, our April Portugal tour.
Sold out, by the way.
Sold out. Yeah, we had a cancellation, but
resold out.
They will be the first people to get exclusive BTG merchandise. It will be tied into the tour. And then post that, the more generic merch will start to come available.
Yeah, lovely.
So stay tuned for those of you that are interested in BTG merch. Raid Supercars. Supercar brokering business model, yours and Tony's take on it. So supercar brokering. So I guess, to correct me, is this sale or return business?
Maybe not sale or return. I don't really know exactly what he's talking about. Supercar brokerage is probably you don't even see the car. You're the middleman trying to sell from A to B A to C.
I've got a Ford GT slot and I want to get out of it. Mm. I'm the middleman that's going to start shopping it around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Each to their own, mate. I'm not really going to comment on whether I think so. It's not what I do and I wouldn't do it. But each to their own, if that's what they want to do. Fair play.
I would assume at a certain level, it's all going to be about your connections. If you're asking Raid Supercars whether this is, you know, you want to get some advice because you're thinking about going into this world, if you're going to sit there and sell your mates 458 Italia and hope for a bit of a cut, I think you're up against a steep climb, I would assume.
Mm.
If you're someone who's been in this world for a long time, you know very influential, very wealthy people, and you know people who are going to get slots on 992, 3RSs that they want to flip, or even rarer cars than that, maybe that's it. You know, like there are plenty of people out there who are brokering, you know, 250 GTOs and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that it is a business, but that would be my take on it. And I'm not in your world. So would you agree?
It's connections. It's connections. Literally about you need to put A to C together and you be B.
Now, I know you're going to be very vocal on this.
Right.
Milan Decker's opinions on adaptive cruise control causing excessive traffic and / big gaps.
Excessive traffic.
Well, okay, so I know you're not a fan of adaptive cruise control.
Not a fan of cruise control.
I was using it, for example, on the i5 the other day.
Yeah.
It's not, they call it more than adaptive control. It's like, you know,
innovative drive.
No, worse than that. It's like, really? You know, holistic driving experience or something. I can't remember. I'll figure it out. And you set it at 70 miles an hour on the motorway, off you go. I haven't found a way yet to alter the gap to the car in front. And it seems to be an excessively large gap.
Right.
So as you come up behind a car that might be doing 65, you suddenly find yourself doing 58 in the fast lane, about half a mile away from the car in front.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously then you have to override the system or you're just sitting there lane hogging. So I think that's what he's referring to, is that as adaptive cruise control becomes more and more popular or more and more prolific in cars, is it actually slowing traffic down or creating bigger issues?
Well, what really slows the traffic down on motorways is lane discipline.
Mm.
People are genuinely clueless how to drive on UK roads. They literally just sit in lane two or lane three. And there's no, and I saw the M25 is one of the worst roads for it, by the way.
Which is the ring road around the UK, London.
So. Around London. And I was on it yesterday, as I'm on it every day. And there was a policeman on a motorbike, and he was literally going upside the cars in lane two. Lane one was completely free, and he's pointing at them and pointing them to go into lane.
Wow.
He's fuming.
Wow.
Done it to about 10 cars, man. Wow. They're all just hogging the road.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's,
well, people
so
switch
annoying.
Off. People switch off. They get on the motorway, they either put their cruise control on or they've got their radio or their podcast on and they just switch off.
But that's how people crash.
Yeah, of course.
Pay attention
to
what you're doing.
It's totally, I mean, I think it's weird. All these driver assistance systems, as they go on, they obviously help and aid drivers, but I do think they're actually making the roads more dangerous at this stage because not everyone's using them, because different cars have different systems, because they're not actually as good as they should be will be in the future.
No.
I agree with that sort of question or that comment that at the moment, I think it makes things more dangerous because also if somebody suddenly dives into your lane and you've got adaptive, your car slams on the brake,
does,
the person behind you doesn't realize that's what's going to happen.
Crash.
It's not a natural thing for the car to do. So I do use it, especially on the i5, because I think it helps with the range. I might be making that up, but I just assume it's going to manage its range better. Mm. But I don't like it. It does frustrate me.
On a combustion car, cruise control makes the range worse.
Oh, does it?
I think so, yeah. Mm, I think it's better to do it yourself.
Is that a fact or is that a Tonyism?
No, I think it's a fact.
Okay.
Yeah, I genuinely think it's
all
a fact.
All Tonyisms are facts, by the way.
Exactly. I will be right.
Confidently wrong.
Yeah. Confidently wrong. Yeah.
Wrong with confidence.
Yeah.
Well, this is a question that you're all going to know the answer to. Thoughts on the Giulia Quadrifoglio being discontinued for an EV?
No, it's a new one, no?
Will BMW add? They've just done the new one, but then after that, it's going electric. I guess it's probably not the episode for it because there's probably a bigger episode on it. We have seen in the last 6 weeks quite a few manufacturers dialing back on the EV narrative.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
A lot of supposed or claimed dates for going all electrics are being delayed. You know, we'll be all electric by 2025. It's now 2026. We're going to be all electric by this, our whole range. Now it's pushed back further. We're going to change our model. Yeah. We're going to do more hybrids first. Then we're going to go Bentley, Jaguar, you know, across the board. So
Jaguar?
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even know that.
Oh, there's a whole chat about Jaguar. That's a name. But I'm waiting for, I want to get official information.
Yeah, okay.
So, look, it's not the first time we're going to hear about it. It's not the last time. Did you see Lancia bring back the sort of some of their classic makes and models, but as electric versions? Mm. It's what manufacturers are going to try or going to have to do. Is it a good thing or bad thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Whatever.
What type of car is the world missing? This is from Oliver Courtley Photography. What type of car is the world missing? For example, a super luxury hatch.
We got one.
What is it?
RS3 or A45S.
But that's not super luxury. That's a super performance. But what about like a Bentley hatchback? Or a Mercedes A-Class Maybach edition? Would anyone buy it?
But no.
Because, why not?
Because the hatchback is for the everyday person. That's the whole idea of them. They're supposed to be practical and good value. They're already up at 60 grand, which is
losing the value argument.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is you can't bring one out that's 100 because then you just go and buy an SUV. You know, people have to understand the biggest market in the UK by some margin is the SUV market.
Yeah, and we're seeing this. Well, I think Asia's very saloon focused.
Yeah.
US big trucks.
Yeah.
And we are SUVs.
SUVs, yeah. France are little hatchbacks, literally.
I think Italy as well.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a super luxury hatchback would quite make sense. We're seeing the saloon and the estate slowly die in this country. Estate's starting to have a bit of a comeback.
No,
tiny
estate's
bit.
All right, mate.
They're doing all right. But saloons are definitely quietening down. We're seeing a lot of manufacturers step away from saloons. Yeah. SUVs are still coming stronger. So I'm trying to think what I sit here going, I just wish there were a few more those.
I think, honestly, mate, when I look at the market, when I look at just in general, there is literally a car for everyone.
Yeah. There's
even a manufacturer. Most manufacturers, Mercedes, Audi, BMW, they in their range, I use them as an example, they literally make a car for everyone.
Yeah, they offer everything.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I personally don't, because even if you want something quite niche, you know, I want a super performance four-door saloon. Okay, you might have two or three choices rather than 10, but there are still two or three choices.
Yeah.
Like, it's quite rare, unless you're like, I need a V10 manual, rear-wheel drive, four-seater. Like,
well, you don't need one of them. It's a one, no, isn't it?
But do you know what I mean? So I don't think there's anything missing.
They've literally... And if one manufacturer don't make it, another one does.
Yeah. Scrolling through a little bit now. Do you think Mercedes will admit defeat with the new 63 and go back to a V8? That's from LWB631. So I've seen that engine's just gone into something, hasn't it? The engine just went into the new GLC?
The AMG 43 has gone into that new Merc.
So the new AMG GT has taken the C63 four-cylinder.
Or the A45 four-cylinder, basically. It's a 2 litre car.
But the C63 turboed four-cylinder disaster that no one bought, that engine has gone into something else. I think it must be the GLC.
Okay, fine.
It must be. Which maybe makes a bit more sense. I don't know.
And then they'll put the V8 back in the... Because they've got the V8. They've got it from the... They still make
still using it.
Yeah, still using it. So just put it back in.
We did predict that. I mean, we did say this a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Like a bit,
yeah.
Like a, we were like, because we caught wind of such that they were going to put it. Will they admit defeat? I don't know. It's they're so aggressively quiet about the C63.
Yeah.
I mean, rightfully so, because it has just been an almighty flop and disaster for them. But
they're too far in. I mean, they've got to do something with it.
Well, that, as you said, that engine will just go elsewhere, won't it?
Yeah, it'll have to, if it don't go. I mean, they'll probably still offer it in the C63, but then say there's an alternative V8.
Yeah, we're going to create the final edition, which is the V8 or something.
We're going to create a final edition on a car that's been out 3 months.
Yeah, literally, that we've sold 100 of worldwide.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Lotus Eletra.
Yeah. What's happened with that car, by the way?
I heard some numbers on the sales of that thing.
Four.
Literally.
Yeah.
So I think globally, this is unconfirmed. This is word of mouth. I think globally they were aiming to sell like 4,000 or 7,000 cars a year, something like that. Oh. Definitely in the thousands. And in the first like 3 months, they sold 40 globally, 4-0.
Yeah.
There's that big Lotus dealership now in Mayfair opposite the Ritz. Huge, like it used to be, or it's opposite where Audi used to be. Anyway, okay. Massive territory. I've driven past it 10 times. Not once have I seen a customer or person inside it.
Okay.
Not once. Sure. They're in so much trouble.
Oh, mate.
I mean, you know, we all thought this was the good savior, but...
Did we not call that, though?
I think 18, you did.
18 months
ago. I think you did. Yeah, I probably. Think I was... I had hope.
You had hope, yeah.
Dan Key, I mean, we've answered this. Seen a few people struggling to sell their EVs recently. Thoughts?
Recently?
Yeah.
Full stop.
Mm. I don't think we need to answer that, do we?
No. I'd rather not answer any EV questions this week, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Samuel Wheeler, 42, to carry on the Mercedes thing.
Yeah.
What has happened to Mercedes the last couple of years? It feels like they're very far behind BMW and Audi. I don't really know. I think it. You know, in this country, in the UK, they're definitely less desirable at the moment. And I think it comes from a bit of wishy-washiness about their direction.
I'll tell you where it comes from.
Go on.
It comes from their new agency model. So basically, you know, the dealers are now just basically pilots. So they're handover centres now. Because you buy everything online from Mercedes.
Interesting.
So there's just not... They're, in terms of numbers, they're miles down compared to BMW and Audi. So that's probably why it feels like they've lost their way. They're just not selling anywhere near as many cars because they've changed this model.
And the I just think the desirability is just not there. Like
I still think they make good cars, Merc. And the interiors are lovely as in to sit in until you start fiddling around with the stupid screens.
But
they are a nice place to sit, aren't they?
When I had that EQS on loan for a week, I did love it. And actually, that's what I... Bloody hell, why didn't I thought of that when I did my i5 video? Because the EQS is the rival for that. Well, not quite. The EQE is the rival, but still. Yeah, it was nice, that EQS.
Yeah.
Much better than
they are good-looking cars. The EV electric Mercs, they're all very, very good-looking cars.
I just find them a bit bland. I think the problem with Mercedes at the minute, too bland and too many versions of the same thing.
Yeah.
All just is that a GLC, a GLE, a GLA, a GLB, you know, it's all just like just... 1,000 iterations of the same thing.
Yeah.
Paul T, 1979. Name a car that you think has changed the motoring industry for better or for worse, but let's go for better. I know one straight away.
Name a car that's changed the for the better.
Yeah.
As in...
It's pushed things on. So, for example, let's not use this, but for example, the 458 Italia.
Oh, that's what I've... That's literally what I had in mind. Hold on a minute. Let's go one back, because I think originally it was the McLaren.
Well done. McLaren 12C. Yeah. I was with you there. I think in the supercar world, those two cars changed what a supercar could and should be.
Yeah, they did.
In terms of usability, performance, breadth of capability, visibility, ease of use... emotion on the Ferrari side, lack of emotion on the McLaren side, but like, you know, just redefined. Yeah.
I'll tell you another one as well, recent, SF90.
I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree. I think too complicated. From a price point and a performance, sure, but...
That's what I'm talking about.
They don't work. It's a proof of
our one worked completely fine last week.
It did work fine.
We had a nice time.
Supposedly the more they use them, the better, but they did have a lot of glitches early on in that car.
Yeah. I mean, the one I had in Portugal was Total. Yeah. Or Spain.
I don't think that's a good enough example. I don't think you can say the SF90 has redefined what the usable supercar should be, because actually no one's bought it.
In terms of performance, mate. I mean, it's mind-blowing, that car.
Well, so is a Koenigsegg Agera.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
All right.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. So it's 2 million.
Yeah, but yeah. So think of cars which have redefined the space, as in like this is the, everything has shifted others, because actually not everything has followed the SF90 apart from the Rev Vuelto.
Mm.
So take like a Range Rover, or take something of that level, like what SUV, a Macan. Do you not think a Macan made all of the Q5, X3s, all of that lot go, we need to up our game? Or, do you see what I mean?
Mm. I mean, if you want to go really far back and you want to talk about SUVs, then it's Mercedes and X5 when they first bring out the ML and the...
Yeah.
I mean, that fully changed the car industry, yeah. Full stop.
Yeah.
Because literally everyone buys SUVs now.
Sure.
If them two hadn't made that, then what?
Yeah.
You know? So I think there's lots of examples, aren't there?
That have sort of pushed things forward. For yeah, sure. Yeah, that have redefined. But yeah, in most recent years, I would say in the supercar game, McLaren have kind of led the way, I think. So even 720S, it was ahead of its time and confusing when it came out.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you look at it now, it made all of the supercars followed McLaren's lead at making their cars more usable, more comfortable, all of those things.
And stupidly fast.
And stupidly fast, yeah. I'm going to keep scrolling now. Is it worth future-proofing cars with upgraded infotainment and screens, etc.? So, you know, Apple CarPlay upgrades and things like that. I don't think it makes... I mean...
But in terms of what does he mean by that?
I think he means buying a used car for future value. Is it worth spending the money on upgrading the infotainment and things like that?
As in a car that doesn't come with Apple CarPlay, so like a 2015 car or something.
Yeah, or even older,
Well, you put Apple CarPlay in it, not for value, just for the sake it's safe.
I agree, yeah.
It doesn't make a difference to the value.
I'm just trying to find ones that jump out to me. If you could change one thing about your GT3s, what would it be? That's from Walt.
Nothing.
Genuinely nothing?
No, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
But spec-wise?
Yeah, I'd take the stupid blue off it.
You take the blue bits off it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but that's roughly how I'd spec it.
Yeah.
I'd put yellow stitching in it, not blue.
You'd have black on black on black with yellow stitching.
Yeah. But I'd expect it the same.
Yellow brake calipers?
Yeah, probably, because the yellow stitching.
Yeah. I would...
You respect your car, though.
Yeah. So I don't...
That's it.
And there was nothing really I skimped money on either.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Hold on a minute.
What did I skimp money on?
Everything.
What? No, but through choice.
Look at the colour.
No, that cost me $8,000, mate. I didn't skimp money. I spent money on it. But no, like...
Are you pleased with it?
I love it.
Oh, that's it then.
That's what I mean. Like, so there's nothing that I sit there going, oh, I wish I'd done that.
Yeah, that's an easier question for you because you spec'd it.
Fiber roof.
Yeah.
Not at all. But if I would go again, I would spec differently just to go again.
Would you?
Yeah.
Brown one.
probably.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a really nice colour on PTS called aubergine.
Oh.
It's like a dark purple. I spoke to Cayenne in it the other day. Yeah. Vince88Liu, if BBC wanted you to host the new Top Gear and you would get to choose the other presenters, who would they be?
Oh, they couldn't pay me enough money.
Really?
No, as in, what does a? I'm not being big-headed here. I've got businesses to run.
No. But let's say the offer was good. Let's say they came to you and said they can pay £500,000 a year to do, and we need 12 weeks of your year.
As long as I can keep my businesses, then yeah, fine. Yeah. No problem.
So the Top Gear USA contract that I got offered was 3 months of my year. I was able to keep doing, during those 3 months, I wasn't able to run my social media. The rest of the year I was. And 5-year contract. So let's assume it's the same, that they need 3 months of your year when you're not able to run this business. And for 5 years, and let's say they're going to offer you $350,000 a year for those 3 months.
I don't think it's enough. For me.
Okay, well, let's say
I don't have a business left then. What do I do? Unless I get someone to run it.
What would the money make it worthwhile? Let's say it's $500,000.
Yeah.
Okay, $750,000. $750,000 for 3 months of the year. You can't do this. 5-year contract. Sorry, 5-year contract.
Yeah, it's fine.
Fine, okay. Who are the other two presenters? That's what the question was. Yeah, it's us. We've been signed.
And two more.
And two more.
Oh, flipping hell. I never really thought about that.
No, that's why it's a good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. Someone really, really knowledgeable.
Yep.
Like...
I know the guy.
Go on.
Jonathan Benson.
Okay.
Tire Reviews.
Okay.
I actually think Benson would be perfect because he brings the perfect amount of geek and chic.
Okay.
Good looking guy.
Yeah,
in good shape.
Imagine him standing next to us.
Look like shit.
The Ucky Duckies.
No, but likes to have banter, but also is freakishly nerdy on the details. Just gets it.
Yeah.
So he'd call us out on all of our BS. But then we'd also get involved with the chat.
But is that not three?
So that's three. But we have to have one more.
We've got to have more.
Because we're like an Ant and Dec, you know, they just put us in all the skits as like idiots. And then you've got Benson.
We're just going to get hurt every week.
Literally, yeah.
Oh, mate, it's not funny, is it?
So then who's the fourth? Think of someone not directly car worldy. Think of someone who's like, go on. Okay, you go.
Think of someone that's completely out of the car
world. No. I was just trying to create your creative juices, but I've got a better idea.
I am trying to literally think of someone like completely out of the car world.
Okay.
I'll tell you who would be good.
Go on.
I don't think they'd be out of payment. Someone like Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because he would be hilarious. Because he's a car guy as well. He likes cars.
But you think he'd just slag everything off?
Me and him would be like best mates.
Yeah.
It'd be the funniest thing.
That would be good.
It's going on him.
You would love him. I was thinking more like Max Chilton, bringing a racing driver.
Yeah.
Or Marino Franchitti. You know, bringing someone like the proper driver.
Yeah.
You got us two larks like knocking stick. Around. Yeah, but not a bit like Chris Harris was. So someone who's actually really going to get the driving going.
Yeah.
And can give that experience and that credibility in that department. So like a Max and Marino. Then you've got Benson bringing in the nerdy sort of facts and stats. Sorry, Benson, but you are a nerd.
And then us
two idiots, over-opinionated, slagging everything off.
Yeah.
I think that's a good lineup. Call us, BBC.
£750,000 on what?
Yeah, 700 for 3 months. Extortion.
Oh, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. That's the going rate for sponsoring one of these episodes, by the way. You see, we joked earlier that I was in it for money. You now know who's really in it for money. Which car would you love to see a Renault 5-star modern interpretation of? This is from CJP Shaw. So remember, we just saw the Renault 5s come back as an electric and they've kind of kept the styling and the retro. So what kind of old school car would you like to see? We spoke about this a bit before, a few episodes ago, but what car, could they bring back and keep the old school styling of? But in a new version.
Fiat Uno.
Yeah, Fiat Uno, that's a vibe. Mm. Or the old like Cinquecento, the boxy Cinquecento from, I guess it was the 90s, the really boxy Fiat 500.
You know what would be hilarious? Like a new Fiat Multipla.
Oh, was that, which was the one with the line in the
where the line for three seats at the front?
I was obsessed with those.
What a thing.
They were amazing.
Yeah.
You're right. That should come back. That would be great.
Yeah. That would be a good one.
Or the Espace. What was the one which had the mid-engined?
That was a disaster, mate, that car.
What a cool looking thing, though. It's a wedge.
That was a disaster, though. That'd weigh like 4 tonne. You need a lorry license like that.
Yeah. To be fair.
So heavy.
Any other like icons of the past?
Well, there must be a Jap. There must be a Japanese one.
Yeah, well, I would bring the next. I'd make the R36 Nissan look like the R34.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair.
Gary Whiteley, missed the old group road trips with challenges. Will you guys be doing any again? Like, no. I would love to say yes. I would love. I am a man who lives in nostalgia. I live for nostalgia. I'm obsessed with nostalgia. Yep. Still dressed like I'm 16.
Yeah.
But I adore these moments, and I still get like painful nostalgia thinking back to that time. It was peak YouTube. It was peak everything. But as we said earlier, unfortunately, the times have moved on. Everyone's doing different things. People on their own career paths. They're doing their channels their own way. To get us all to go and spend a week or 2 weeks in Monaco and create all content together. Firstly, it just is impossible with what everyone's doing. And secondly, we all think it's a good idea until the reality of it, because I've said this to everyone over and over again when we've had these chats, the first two videos would fly, the next 10 would absolutely bomb.
No one would care, yeah.
You as the audience, I'm making an assumption here, but I do know from the analytics, most of you are subscribed to multiple automotive UK YouTubers or globally automotive YouTubers.
Yeah.
And so if for a week or 10 days, every video was the same people and the same cars in the same location, you would get bored and you'd go and watch somebody else who's doing something different because it would feel too repetitive. We have spoilt the audience with amazing, you know, Schmies, as you say, in Norway.
Yeah.
Paul and Seb right now are somewhere in Europe doing crazy stuff. I don't know what James is doing. Like there's people like, you know, Joe Achilles and Petrol Ped doing stuff all over. JM, like it's just people doing stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
So then if we all come together and just make the same videos on the same cars for a week, you're going to be like, well, that's a bit boring. Like, let's go see what Matt Armstrong's up to. So that's
what he's up to. He'd be underneath an M3 at the moment trying to read.
Probably.
he'd be right in the shit.
Literally. I've pitched to the group to do one epic, like, hour-long big adventure where it's just, you know, it's 2 or 3 days and we make one stunning piece of content from it. Bish, bash, bosh, done. It's just too hard to get everyone's diaries to align. Mm. So you're never going to see the old school road trips again as much as people miss them. But who knows if there'll be something else exciting. Okay. Da-da-da-da. How long will you keep your GT3s? I don't think either of us have plans to sell them.
No plans, no.
Joshua, on your journey, is there something you wish you implemented sooner? So as a business owner, as a car dealer, is there anything now that you look back and go, oh, I kind of wish I'd done that sooner?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be loads of things down the years that I'd have kicked myself, but that's how you learn, mate.
Of course.
You know, like, and I am one for change as well. I won't sit on my laurels or stick to my, if something's not going right, I'll change it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been like that, you know, like I'm not proud. I don't care. Like even recently, well, you know, I've changed the stock.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't care what the website looks like or what people think. I'm selling cheaper cars now because that's what's selling. I'm so busy, it's unbelievable. Mm. So, if I need to change, I'll change.
Yeah. I think the only thing which I noticed, which I did 2 or 3 years ago, which is partly some of your advice, I basically started to price up trips to make sure that every trip I was doing was profitable.
Oh,
I think,
mate.
When I started, I would launch out on like a 2 week road trip, I'd go down to Monaco, make a load of videos. And as a year end, I knew I was profitable, but I wasn't diving into each trip going, right, if I go away for 5 days and I spend this, like, am I profitable on that specific trip?
Yeah. I mean, the need for you, your business is very different to my businesses in general, but I have an understanding of it now. And it's okay for you sometime. We would call it like loss leading. You know, sometimes you would put content out and there'd be no money in it, but you have to keep the keep the machine going.
Of course.
But in general, mate, then, you know, you need to be, if you're doing something, you need to make sure you're in front, because if you keep doing that, you're not, what's the point? There's like no point.
Yeah, well, no, as I say, like it's just a different way of analysing the trip, because I say, yeah. as a business, like my year end was good and I knew where I was headed, but that was it. It was just a different way of, essentially, I get more out of the trips now than I used to.
Absolutely.
Though definitely, you know, on a 5 years ago, if I did a week long road trip, I wouldn't really think about how much content needs to come out of it. I would just go, okay, cool, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, blah, blah. Where now I'm, you know, I'm far more analytical in terms of what content's coming out of that trip. Ben Cadolan. If YouTube shut down today, what would you do?
This.
Oh, yeah, do the podcast. Yeah. To be fair, yeah, literally. Audio only version coming soon. Yeah. I think, I'd still do something creative. I mean, I might do something more in the watch side of things. Maybe I'd come and work for Tony, lol.
Oh, you're welcome, mate.
Thank you so much. We'll be buying modern classic shitters.
Oh my god. Next week.
You both do loads of road trips to Europe. Could you do an Irish road trip in the future? We did do an Irish road trip 2018, was it? We'd love to go back, probably in hot hatches rather than in supercars. That seemed like a mistake at the time.
That was a terrible mistake.
Terrible mistake. So we'd love to do that for sure. I want to do Isle of Man this year as well, but I'm running out of time.
Yeah.
Even though it's only March, my diary is already quite terrifying. Kubjak, any update on the F-Pace SVR? I've actually come in the F-Pace SVR today.
Yeah.
First time in a long
time.
Nice
car, I like that car.
Yeah, on a day thing. It is good. It's still not for me. I still get too frustrated by a lot of things on it and around it, which is weird because I loved it on a short-term daily test drive to live with. It bugs me. A lot of things on that car bug me. So it will be going back to Jag.
Amazing how many cars are like that. You think you'd like a car because you've driven it for an hour or two and you go, oh, I'd love to live with this. Mm. And then when you actually do live with it, you go, oh, I've made a mistake here.
Yeah, and I can shout out some of the reasons. The cabin is smaller than you would think. Mm. It's the layout doesn't actually work as well as you might want. The visibility isn't fantastic. The ride is too firm. The boot is awkwardly small. The fuel economy is obviously a disaster.
You knew that, though.
Yeah, I knew that. I'm trying to think what else frustrates me. There's some niggly bits in terms of button stuff. It's just, you know, it's just unnecessary for me and my lifestyle. That's kind of where it fits into. Can you make a video on exactly how you make your videos start to finish? Potentially, one day. Maybe some of that's the special sauce, though. I don't know if I want to give it all away.
No,
some of it's not that interesting.
Yeah, I think you've got to keep that to yourself, mate.
I could definitely do like a do something, tips, like a starter for 10 on filming a car video.
You've got to charge for that, though. Like you need to
sell the package.
Yeah.
How to become a YouTuber.
You can't get that for free.
Okay, let's power through. I mean, we've been powering through these questions anyway, but there are so many. Let's power through some. So, Afonso Otto, when is another podcast on synthetic fuels coming? Potentially soon. I've been chatting with
the guys in.
Yeah, well, I've been catching up with the P1 Fuels guys. They've got some exciting developments this year. There's been a few other players in the game in the UK at the minute. I always can never pronounce them, but Harry Metcalf uses somebody else was trying to make some moves in the. So I still think for me, P1 still is the best product. They're doing the best applications. P1 Fuels. Mm. They got a UK distributor. Warwickshire, I guess.
We should go there and do an episode.
We could do.
Yeah.
But I mean, their HQ's all in Germany and Belgium.
Well, let's go there then. That'd be cool.
It could be cool. I think it'd be cool to get them on. I don't know what you think we're going to do in a synthetic fuel factory.
No. But what I'm saying is we're in the factory doing the episode and here's the guys that blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I think it's get them on. Setting.
All right.
Well, yeah, I think it's get them on. But yeah, it's super interesting. I mean, it's being used more and more. So exciting to see. So hopefully we can do a bit of chat on that. Basically, all I'm trying to say to you is that a synthetic fuel lab is very dull.
So is our podcast. Very dull.
No. Very good point. CT9378, great question. When are the next live podcast events happening? We hope to have an announcement for you on that. I think in April. I think at the beginning of April.
All right.
So we're literally in the middle of firming things up. Obviously, we've got our tour in April as well. the Portugal tour, but we're just, I'm waiting for one email to come through today. We're very nearly there.
Is it today?
So, yeah, yeah. Oh, I got a text right. from the guys last night.
Good man.
Have you tried a lamppost on street charger? Nope. Oh, if you got Cano McCuddle, if you got offered a Spider RS, would you get one for the UK? Yes.
For the UK?
Even though I slagged off the GT4 RS earlier, I would get one. I think it's a wicked car.
I think that car makes more sense than the GT4.
Agreed.
Because it hasn't got a roof.
Because lifestyle.
And the GT4 RS, there's other cars that are easily better for the same money. That's the problem. And I think the GT4 RS, not in this country, will be good in Europe for a trip. But I have a GT3, so like, what's the point? That's the problem.
So, I think a 911 is always better than a Cayman. Fundamental truth of it.
It's as simple as that. Yeah, it's the big brother basically. So it's going to be better. And the people will be screaming at us now and saying, "No, GT4
best handling car ever."
Some of the journalists says the best Porsche ever made. Good luck. what else was I going to say? The GT4 RS. You know there's some available, by the way.
What GT4 RS is?
You know, like, there was a...
Who have you been speaking to? Because you told me about another car that was available this morning. You had a long chat with someone today.
Yeah, I don't think I should probably tell you.
Can you give me that phone number?
Well, I don't know if it's still available.
I haven't got the cash. There's a lot of questions here about people asking about when I'm getting a Project A. I kind of missed the button there because I bought a Chan Stradale instead. And the Project A...
Oh, yeah, you don't want that.
I do want a Project A, but financing wise, I've priced myself out a little bit.
And when are you going to use it? You got a challenge.
No,
that would
be my. I'd replace the F-Pace SVR with the Project A as my daily, and then just stick Vicky in a little, you know, X320D.
As your daily.
My daily would be a Project A. Yeah.
Oh, you've lost the plot.
I haven't lost the plot at all, but I just priced myself out of it because I'm obviously paying quite a bit for the Challenge Stradale.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
And you've got a GT3.
And I got a GT3. So then, to then go and buy another 100 grand car, it's like, whoa!
Flapping.
Hold on a sec. Someone's gone a little crazy. Oh, God, I can't pronounce that name. Oh. Lammy Pammy Botterhammy. Shmee had a big video on Spyker. Do you think there's a potential for a new modern Spyker? Well, if you watch the main channel, Lammy Pammy Botterhammy, you'll know that Tony and I went to visit. Did we say his name in that video? Are we allowed to say his name? Anyway, Spyker Collector, we'll call him. I don't know if he reveals his name. Lovely man in the Netherlands.
Very lovely.
Honestly, hero.
And his wife, she was a nice lady.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Learn all about their setup and their business and the fact of what they're doing in the future. Is there potential for a new modern Spyker? Absolutely. Yeah. I think Spyker's super cool. I think they're underrated, overlooked, sort of beautiful looking things. And yeah, if there's a future Spyker, I'll be interested for sure.
Yeah.
Race from London to Mount Etna. One has to use public transport. One is in a car. What car? Bugatti Chiron. What car are you driving? Race from here to Sicily.
There to Sicily.
Is it Sicily or Sardinia? Sicily, isn't it? Yeah.
What, now I've got to drive?
Okay, so yeah, let's say I'm taking public transport and you've got to race me there. You're in a car. Top Gear style challenge.
You want to go in a Chiron?
Bugatti Chiron.
So I've got to say something different.
Well, you don't have to. You could agree with me.
Well, I do agree with you, but...
Well done.
Is that it? I was just trying to think of something else, but I'll just agree with you then.
would you agree with me?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's perfect.
Not a McLaren Speedtail?
No, thanks. You're joking. It wouldn't make it.
Brad MS, do you plan to do a Behind the Glass World Tour?
Ooh, Behind the Glass World Tour.
That would be exciting, wouldn't it? Yeah, can you imagine? Like Justin Bieber.
Yeah, but
we'll be in Copenhagen.
Yeah, four people have been there.
I'd actually love to do that, though.
Yeah.
But again, I'd have to pay Tony 750 grand That's to the take problem. The 6 weeks off to come and do it.
Yeah.
Come on, final few questions. Any big trips planned in the GT3 this year? TBC. Let me come back to you on that. I think I'm potentially going to take it on the Portugal tour.
Are you?
I think so.
I think you should.
I think I should.
I think you should, mate.
I was offered something quite nice instead. I'm just waiting to see if that's definitely going to happen.
I'll take your GT3 then.
Angus Yar, honest thoughts on Archie Hamilton opening a car dealership? I'm going to say, good on him.
Fair
like,
play.
Crack on. Like, absolutely, what a ledge.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know, we've all got to diversify. If you're a social media creator, hardest thing is finding a way out of social media.
Yeah.
So diversify, fun things to do. Obviously, he's got a lot of, you know, family history in that world. So good on him. Crack on him, yeah. We've done which cars we regret selling. We've done the best roads. When are you going to do an event in Scotland? Hopefully soon. We know that the Scotland crew,
big audience up there. We have Scotland.
Yeah, we want to do some Scotland stuff.
Yeah.
I'll let you pick. You pick the final two questions, Tony.
On the way down?
On the way down. Scroll down. Just pick any two questions and we'll finish up there.
Okay. Connor Chappell.
Mm-hmm.
Best memory with Tony and best STG memory? It's quite a good question.
Ooh, interesting.
I know the answer to probably the best memory because it's, I think it's mine as well, but...
Well, no, I think you're going to say Mille Miglia.
I am.
But I actually think I enjoyed when we went down to Monaco with the F-Type R convertible. You had the black GT4 and Paul was in the Nissan GT-R. And we got up early that morning, went up and did Col de Torino in that little drive. And it was just a nice little morning. Just went and did a nice little lap in the cars. I enjoyed it.
Without
I enjoyed that whole trip without Paul. Yeah,
because we just spent all week waiting for
him. Yeah, literally. And I enjoyed the day before when we went up and over the pass. And then we found you in the little town. You were waiting, having a coffee for us. And we'd been taking photos and droning. And we came down the bottom and found you. Then we went and did Red Rock Road. I liked that trip. That was a good trip.
Oh, I had a lovely time, yeah. Actually. When I went off on my own and you boys were filming.
Yeah.
I had a lovely time coming back down there, yeah.
And Australia and LA burned that pretty hard in the retinas.
Yeah,
that was cool, yeah.
An
STG memory, if you mean a memory for me from Seen Through Glass, it's Drive the World. I don't know if they meant you an STG memory.
And best STG memory, that's what it says.
Okay, fine.
So Drive the World for you, yeah?
Yeah. Final question. Big pressure.
Oh, look. This is quite a good one.
Go on.
Connell Kirk? Yeah. If you both had to share one car for the rest of your lives, what would it be? What would you agree on?
Ooh. I think there's one. Okay, so if we had the... I think there's two that we could argue about. So let's say one of our incredible viewers said, I want to buy a car for the channel that you two will have exclusive use of to share. You know,
like 918.
Or Enzo.
Yeah.
Those are the two cars.
But I wouldn't want to drive an Enzo, mate. That's the problem. I mean, it's such a pile of shit, that car. I wouldn't want to drive it. I would like do like 200 miles a year in it. So you'd do 10,000 and it's too much of a night. I want to drive something.
I think it is the 918, isn't it?
Over like a GT2 RS?
No. I mean, like... you remember on Spikes, they have the Plan Z cars that they sort of share. We've spoken before about like, let's go half-halves on a car.
Yeah.
I would, if suddenly you got a phone call saying, we've got a slot on the 992.2 GT2 RS, do you want to go halves? I'd be like, yeah, sick. I don't think I'd go halves on a 675. Like you'd have to be like to go halves, it's going to have to be one of those like dream unicorn cars.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
918 would be one.
918,
sure.
I think, would be right up there.
Because you like 918
as well. I love a 918, yeah. And we would use it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's not many, though, are there? I mean, it's weird because we have got half similar tasting cars, but there's not really many cars that we both really, really like that we'd both want to own together.
Yeah, agreed. I think the big unicorn cars for me are modern classics, and the big unicorn for you are like modern driver's cars.
Yeah.
So, and again, like I say, unless it's like the real big unicorn stuff. That's the only time I'd do it. If you suddenly call me up and said, oh, I've got a mate who's offered me a blah, blah, blah. It's going to have to be something we both go, oh my God, like there's a once in a lifetime. We just got to do it.
Yeah,
we'll
the new GT2 RS would be.
Something like that.
Yeah,
you know, that'd
be up there. We'd have to be up there, yeah.
You know, if any Porsche dealers out there.
But there'd be a fight though. That's the problem.
Would you have a 911 ST?
No.
I don't think I would either.
No.
Somebody sent me a message because there's one available in like, I can't remember which country it was, but there was a slot available on a car. And, they're like, you know, you could buy it and export it and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I don't think I actually want one.
Oh, Paul should be fuming if you did that, by the way.
Yeah, the dealer eventually said no.
Oh.
They were trying to scam it, basically. It was in a country where they have one slot and no one wants it. They were advertising on Instagram.
No way.
For a slot for an
Left-hand
ST.
Left-hand drive car?
A right-hand drive car.
Oh.
I wish I could remember the country now, but...
Well, there weren't many of them.
No.
And they didn't want it.
Literally, no one's buying it. They're trying to shop it around. They were on Instagram being like... It's still available. ST, this is a limited production car. If anyone, like, get in touch now. Can you imagine?
Wow.
You imagine Porsche Gilbert putting up an Instagram story saying, anyone interested in a 911 ST slot? Instagram would crash. But yeah, you're right. Oh, anyway, look, some really good questions there. Some meaty questions. Hopefully interesting answers for some of you. I'm sorry that we can respond to them all, but that's been nearly an hour. We've barely scratched the surface with the questions that you all submitted. But thank you so much anyway. As we mentioned, we're now off to record the next episode of the Rate My Ride series, or the new iteration of Rate My Ride. I know a lot of you want the old Rate My Ride to continue. It will. It will, in and around the live shows and maybe in future episodes. But we're just trialing out this new iteration. We're actually doing a back-to-back version today.
Yeah.
I believe the guys are already here. So we're going to wrap up this week's episode, and then you'll join us next week for, in-car action. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you are listening, you can keep following us and leave us a review. If you're watching, subscribe now, turn on notifications. You can follow Tony at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass, and this podcast is at behindtheglass_podcast. See you all next week. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.